In our gospel today and all of our readings, we see that we encounter Christ in really the normalcy, the everydayness of our lives. And sometimes it's very explicit. We just see it there. We experience his word. We experience something very directly. But I think most often it is something that kind of sits underneath the surface. He is there speaking with us. He is here speaking with us. But we need to learn to listen with our hearts even more than with our ears, to take this time of Lent to be with him more intentionally and to see his hand in our lives. This first reading is from from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament. And most of us, I think, know who Abraham was, but this comes before he was called Abraham. Abraham is a name that he receives from God, but he is Abram in the beginning. And when he first got that call to leave his home, to go to the land of the Canaanites, God went to Abram and he promises to make him a great leader, a great nation out of his followers, his descendants. But Abram is getting older and older and older. He's probably 70 years old or more when we read this gospel today, and he has no descendants. And so his faith in God is beginning to waver a little bit. His confidence is gone. And so God takes him outside and he points him to the skies. Count the stars if you can, just so your descendants shall be. Looking at the magnificence of the stars, at God's creation, Abram's confidence in God is restored. He puts his faith in God, and this is credited to him as an act of righteousness. But then Abram asks for a sign. How shall I know? And God responds by making a covenant with Abram. He sends him out. He says, go get one of all of the animals that are normally offered for sacrifice. Prepare them. And so Abram does this. And then this trance falls upon him. And in this trance, he sees this fire pot and he sees this torch. And the torch passes back and forth between all of the animals, ratifying the covenant that God is making. To your descendants, I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Abram sees God's glory in his creation, and he believes his word. He believes that God's promise sometime, somehow, is going to be fulfilled. And for this, Abram is known even today as our father in faith. The apostles encounter God in a very different way in our gospel today. Jesus takes his three closest disciples. They don't know what they're doing. They're just on the way to Jerusalem. And so Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he brings them up the mountain. They have no idea what's going to happen. And they get there, and he is transfigured before them. His glory is clearly seen. His face is changed. This glory shines through his clothes. Changing his clothes, they're dazzling white. He still holds on to his humanity, but his divinity is shining through. It's a preview to what our destiny is, because we are called to have glorified bodies in Jesus Christ. We don't know what that's going to be like, but we get glimpses. It is what the Father always sees. Moses and Elijah appear then to Christ. And kind of like Abram, the disciples are thrown into this trance. They're falling asleep, but they come out of it. And at a loss for words, the first thing Peter does is speak. He never is one to think too much before he speaks. Master, how great it is that we are here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter's thinking they're just going to stay on top of the mountain. They've seen the glory of God in Christ, and they're going to stay with him for the rest of time. But then a cloud comes and encompasses them, and a voice, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So what is he telling us today? Because he still speaks with us. We see that appearances can be deceiving. For those who are walking with Christ, who was he? He was a carpenter. He normally would be learning from his dad. He would be learning the trade. He would be learning all of the things. And he did that until Joseph died. But Jesus was expected to take over and to become a carpenter, to become a workman in the world. But then, little by little, his true identity begins to shine forth. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, it completely shines through. And then there's these two that show up, Moses and Elijah. But why them? For the Jewish people, they had the first five books of the Torah. And when they thought of those first five books that they received from God, they would think of one person. And that one person was Moses. And then they had all the prophets. And when they would think of the prophets, there's one that kind of was all of them packed into one. And that was Elijah. So these two represent all of sacred scripture, the law and the prophets. And all of sacred scripture is there to testify to Christ. And so Moses and Elijah are there to witness to him. And they point to the heart of who Jesus is, why Jesus is here. Yes, he's got all of these great teachings. He's got all of his miracles. The apostles have been experiencing those things, but that is not the core of why Christ came. The core of who he was to lead this new exodus. As Moses led the people of Israel from physical slavery to the Egyptians, Christ has come to lead us from the slavery to sin into the freedom of heaven. His passion, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus knew was going to be a pivotal moment. He knew that not all of his followers would stay true. Not all of his followers would hold on to the faith. And so they needed something. And this experience of the transfiguration would give them strength so that when their faith is shaken, they're able to return. We need this as well. Because as St. Paul tells us, our true citizenship is in heaven. This is our temporal existence. In this world, our existence in this world is going to end at some point, every one of us. Our true citizenship is not here. And this is why Jesus doesn't want those tents to be built. He doesn't want the disciples to remain up on that mountain in his glory. He knows that we need to return to the valley, and that no matter what is thrown our way, this faith in Christ will lead us through. We see that Jesus' death is not a defeat, but it is his victory. And the disciples embrace this encounter, and it gives them the courage to face reality when Christ goes through his passion. It gives them the courage to face their own trials when they face them as well. And they pass this on to us so that we can learn to see with God's eyes. We can learn to listen with our hearts. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. We need the valleys, and we need the mountains. The mountain is the Mass, where we come to worship, we come to give thanks. The valley is where we live. We live in the joyful moments, great marriages, our health, the beauty of new life, new jobs, all of these things. But we also live in the midst of suffering, the midst of tribulation. We live in the midst of divorce. We live in the midst of natural disasters. We live in the midst of these illnesses and cancer and all of these things that come into our lives. And how do we get the courage to face these things? We need the grace and the spiritual power of the Mass in order to navigate our world. One without the other leads to an imbalance in our lives. Without the mountain, we become spiritually impoverished, easily burned out, depleted. How many of our brothers and sisters should be here today with us? How many simply live in the valley? And they have no desire for the mountain in their lives. We try to fix everything by human effort alone, but without the valley, we simply have a religion of escape, a private religious experience, one that doesn't translate into our daily experience, where nothing is transformed in our lives, and we kind of isolate ourselves from the world. And that is the lesson that we need, that we need both the mountains and we need the valleys. We need to be able to live. We need both of these things and able to live this well-balanced life. Our lives aren't about a resurrection without a cross, but our lives are not about a cross without the resurrection. It is both and. We live in living in the valley. We are all on our way to the mountain. And along the way, God gives us glimpses of what this is going to be like, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to open our hearts, that we may listen to him. This is my chosen son. Listen to him.
The announcements, the book study group will meet right after this Mass in the Fellowship Hall. Knights of Columbus movie night is Tuesday, 6:30 in the evening at St. John's School in the Knights meeting room. Check the bulletin for more information. Friday evening, there will be a codfish fry in our Fellowship Hall, serving from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Come and enjoy a great fish fry. There is an 8 o'clock Saturday morning Mass during Lent, and scrip will be sold right after Mass.
Also, I'd like to ask you to please remember our confirmation class for this year. They are down in Dubuque today on retreat, so please remember them in your prayers today. And we got a note last night that Cardinal DiNardo, who is the head of the Catholic bishops in the United States, has suffered a stroke. So please keep Cardinal DiNardo in your prayers as well. And looking forward to a great fish fry. And I've heard rumors that there might even be some deep fried cheese curds coming.